Okay, praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless this Sabbath reading. Would you mind standing? We'll ask the Lord to bless this. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for the Sabbath day. Thank you for us gathering together, Lord and God. I pray, Lord, you'll make this clear in our minds and our hearts, your word. I pray you'll come against every enemy, every satanic spirit that's trying to invade us. Put a wall of fire around and about this congregation and the people around the world. Lord, we watch this news and it's just, we can't understand it, Lord, but you're very aware of everything. Bless and anoint everyone that's here. Bless and anoint the people that are not with us today around the world. We ask you, Lord, for healing upon everyone that's sick and afflicted. We call upon the living God, knowing you see us, you know our thoughts, you know our minds. Lord and God, bless everyone in the mighty name of the Messiah, Jesus Yeshua. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is what we're one of Messiah congregation. Of course, in Hebrew, it's Kahal Echad BeMashiach. Today is the Sabbath, the reason why we're here. And today is December 2nd, 2006. But at the same time, God has his own calendar. And I know this is probably new information for people. God has his own calendar, his own months in the Bible. This is nothing we made up. You could actually, what I try to do is try to make sure everyone looks things up themselves. This way you could verify if I'm saying something correct or false. And you go to your Bible, like you say to yourself, God has his own calendar. What does that mean? Okay, well, everyone should understand that the calendar that we use every day of our life, it's called the Gregorian calendar, and that's Pope Gregory from the 1500s. And myself personally, I don't follow popes, but at the same time, you know, that's what it is. Hi, Shabbat Shalom. How are you? Just started. This is the ninth month. Today's the 10th day of the ninth month, okay? Praise the Lord. And God has his own calendar, okay? And now, the way you prove that, when I say the month is called Kislew, right, or Kislev, the first thing you should say is, well, did I make that up, or where did I get that from? No, you go to your Bible, and you look it up with your own eyeballs in Zechariah. It says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, which is Kislew. So that verifies what I just said. God has his own calendar. Believe it or not, it's the ninth month of God, even though it's the 12th month of Pope Gregory. And, you know, for my dentist appointments, I must be honest with you, I keep Pope Gregory's calendar, because I know the rest of the world is. We live in this place that we love called America, but it's only a little over 200 years old. And, you know, unfortunately, we're stuck doing what everybody wants us to do. But once in a while, we'd like to put the brakes on and say, what are we really doing? Who made this up? Why are we doing just what everybody wants to do? Is it a big deal? Well, we'll look into this and find out if it's a big deal. Anyway, we have a radio broadcast. We just started again. It's on every Friday at 1:30, and it's on WNAH radio again. We got off of that for a while, but we came back to see what we could achieve. If you ever want to call in during the week, on Friday, that is, you can actually call 256-1360 if you're in the vicinity, or if you're out of town a little bit, or around the world, you can call and, you know, just dial 615. But you can call in and be live on the radio in case you want to say something. And I invite everybody. You know, we're not people that, let's put it this way, we weren't born with a Bible on our hand, and we were just like everyone else. We're nobody special. We're just people that did everything everybody else did. We just one day sat down and said, well, I tried everything else. Let's try God. Me and my friends, we said, let's give God a try. I tried everybody else. Anyway, so that's why we look into the Bible and we see what it says, and that's why we're on the radio, trying to wake some other people up. That's about it, basically. What I wanted to read today was the book of James, chapter 2, which is very important. And I was reading this, and I noticed the Christian world has this so mixed up about filthy rags and works. And what I mean by this is, the Bible says our righteousness, in other words, not God's righteousness, but is filthy rags before salvation. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's say people that have just lots of money, right? They tied to this, they help the poor, they feed the hungry, they do a lot of good deeds. It's their righteousness, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't misconstrue that and say that it is, you can't misconstrue that and say that merits salvation. Did everybody understand that point? Can anybody repeat that back to me? Anybody in the room, repeat what I just said. Can you? Okay. No, I want to make sure you got that point. In other words, doing good deeds is good. Feeding the sick is wonderful. Clothing the naked, just doing all, these are wonderful. But you can't walk around and say, well, that's all I have to do and God loves me. No, you have to accept his son, Jesus, the Messiah, and get salvation. Does everybody understand that? There's nothing, in other words, our righteousness in God's mind is, those are righteousness, but if you think it merits salvation, it's filthy rags. In other words, there's nothing you can ever do to get salvation. You can't buy all the Girl Scout cookies in the world. You can't feed the whole world. That's not going to save your soul. It's only through the blood of the Messiah that he shed his blood on the Calvary, right? Everybody understand that? You can't get salvation any other way. I mean, you know. So what I try to explain to people, but after salvation, you're supposed to have good works. There's a big difference. A lot of people, they always say, well, now that I know the Lord, I don't have to do nothing. Well, that doesn't even make any sense, because in anything in this world, whatever you partake in, you know you have to do something or some type of work. You have to study to get good marks. You have to achieve in a job to get, you know, certain levels of whatever the boss wants you to reach. You have to do something. You can't just sit home and look out the window. But this is where they get the verse from about the filthy rags, and you see it says, but we are all an unclean thing. This is before you know the Lord. All our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Now, this is before you know the Lord. Does everybody understand that? Okay? Okay. It says, now this is what everyone knows this verse. Everyone that I know knows this verse. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And that's again showing you what I'm talking about. In other words, there's nothing you can do to ever get saved. In other words, you can't be the nicest person. You can't eat Mother Teresa's, you know. She did so many good things. I mean, what I'm trying to get at is, my point is, there's nothing you could ever do to merit salvation except, very simply, by faith, repenting of your sins and asking the Lord to come into your heart, change your life. God, I want to see what you can do for me. I'm sorry for my sins. And start doing something for God. It's by faith, through grace. Grace means undeserved favor. In other words, we don't deserve it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I was God, I wouldn't die for anybody. And also, I wouldn't, you know, I'd just snuff everybody out and start a whole new world. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is he understands what eternity is. He understands what forever means. We don't understand that. So he sent his son to die for us, and that's why it's by faith. It's nothing you can do. But after that, you got to do something for God, very simply. Now, the book of James, is a person in the Bible. His name is Yaakov, and he is like the half-brother of Jesus. A lot of people don't know that. And this letter that James sent was sent to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, and it's to the 12 tribes, and it's to anyone who's interested in knowing about salvation or God. And this is written somewhere in the A.D., you know, 60-something A.D. or somewhere in there, between 40 and 60-something A.D., and he says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. So right off the bat, you know, you say to yourself, well, is James making that up? What's that? What is he talking about? I always want to verify, where did they get this from? So I always realize that the apostles, Jesus, they didn't have a Bible like we have. So they must have got it from somewhere. So I look back in the Torah, or better known as the five books of Moses, and I find, oh, there it is. You shall not do unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. And what that simply means is, like a lot of people in the world, they're just so happy. I should say this, they're just more generous to the poor, and they kick away the rich. And then some people kick away the rich. Some people kick away the poor and love the rich, and vice versa. But God says you're supposed to love everyone the same. Poor, rich, old, young. God's fair with everybody. You're not supposed to just say, respect the person of the poor and hate the mighty, or love the mighty and hate the, you know, you're supposed to love everyone equally, equal balance. And this is respect of persons is very important. It says in Deuteronomy, you shall not respect the persons, it says, you shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. You're supposed to hear the small as well as the great as well as the small. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, Moses said, bring it to me and I will hear it. So this makes everything to me very fair. Doesn't that sound fair? I mean, no one's better than anyone else. Rich, poor, old, young. I mean, he's just fair. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. The word wrest right there means pervert, okay? You're not supposed to pervert judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, nor take a gift. That's a bribe. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. 2 Chronicles 19, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. God doesn't respect anyone's person. God doesn't favor anyone over anyone else. Everyone is equal. Whatever you do, it'll be done to you. God doesn't, we're all earthlings here. We all need God. Proverbs 24:23. These things also belong to the wise. It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Proverbs 28:21. To have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread that man will transgress. So that's enough scriptures, I suspect, to let you know where James got that, right? That was only verse 1 of James. In other words, James is like he's an apostle, Jesus' half-brother. He's writing a letter. That's what that is. It's a letter. So he didn't just come up with this, you know, I'm just going to let my mind go blank and see what comes into it. No, he's reading the Torah. He's reading the Word of God. He says, if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing. Now, that word gay right now does not mean what today's connotation of the word gay, okay? That meant happy or festive. Today, you know, don't think today's on the definition of gay. So if you if you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing and say to him, sit thou in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there or get, you know, sit on my footstool, aren't you partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? In other words, you start picking and choosing how you're going to treat everybody. You start picking and choosing, I think I like this. I like her better because I like that sweater, but I don't like her sweater's just no color to it. And, you know, you start, what do you call? It's unrighteous. It's ridiculous, actually, because it's supposed to judge righteous judgment. The word partial right there in Hebrew, it says nosim panim batorah. What that means in Hebrew means you start lifting up your face against the Torah. And in other words, you start picking and choosing what you want to do. That's what being partial in the law is, partial. You start deciding, well, I like this, but I don't want to do that. This one's okay, but I want to do something over here. You start becoming partial. That's like lifting up your face. In other words, you're better than God's word. You start becoming, you start actually making up your own Torah, actually, because if you start changing it, you might as well just write your own. Like a lot of these writers from the past, they wrote their own Greek text. They wrote their own manuscripts. There was a guy, two men from the 1800s, Westcott and Hort. They actually wrote their own little Greek manuscript. They erased what they didn't like, and they wrote something in what they liked. And that's what a lot of these Bibles that people are reading today, but nobody looks things up. Me personally, I'm not going to do nothing unless I personally look it up and verify it. That's the way I am. That's the kind of person I am. I don't, you know, I'm tired of just listening to everybody. I want to know if it's either true or false. I'm tired of just everyone telling me stuff. So I look things up myself, and the truth is out there. It really is. It really is. Malachi says, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. 1 Timothy, and here it is in the same thing, in here we have Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. I mean, from Malachi to Timothy, that's like hundreds of years, you know. That's a lot of years, because it's almost 400 years between Malachi and the first gospel. So that's got to be 500 years or something, you know, 450 or something. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So when you read the letter, you read the information, you can't say, well, I like this verse. I don't like that verse. I like this verse. This verse is okay. I don't like that verse. You have to like the whole thing. I mean, you're either going to do something or you're not. James chapter 2, verse 4 says, are you not partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? That's exactly what it is. When you're partial, you actually become judges of evil thoughts. That's a pretty terrible thing. James 3:17. But this wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's why you can always tell when you're witnessing to somebody and you're talking to someone about God. You know, you have to come across where you can't come across like a hammer, because the Word of God is a hammer. It could break people to shivers, you know. You have to come across where you have to know who you're talking to. You have to already know what's in their mind or what kind of person they are. And the Word of God has to be easily entreated. You can't just go force somebody, serve the Lord. You know, you can't do that. That doesn't work. You have to, you say, well, I try to come across to people like, hey, look, why don't you just read the Bible yourself? I like people to look things up themselves, because then I know the way I am. When you see it yourself, you can't argue with yourself. You might want to fight with everybody else, but when you see it and you look things up, you only can do a couple of things. You could either say, well, okay, that's the truth, but how do I assimilate that in my life? My friends are going to think I'm weird if I do that. Well, I mean, I always think about the end of the matter. Who am I going to meet in the end? Am I going to meet my friends, or am I going to meet God? So I rather, I take the God path. He happens to be the one that's going to meet me in the end. Proverbs 30:32, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, there it is, or if thou hast done thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. A lot of people are full of words, you know, especially the intellectual realm. They are so intellectual, they have outsmarted themselves of heaven. That's how intellectual they are. Satan loves the intellectual game. They become smarter than God. You ever go in a Christian bookstore? It really gives me a headache. It's like ridiculous. They got like rows of people's books. That means if I'm broke, I'm out of luck. I can't get none of the books. I mean, what about reading God's book? One book. Sometimes you can get it for free too. I mean, isn't that weird? Back to James. Hearken, my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Of course, they could afford it. You go hire the high-powered attorney. Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by the which you are called? Of course they do. Now, that word blaspheme is very... I was thinking about that today. James obviously must have been reading the Torah also. In Leviticus chapter 24:16, he said, he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. Whether he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. That's when he does that. Could you imagine today, we don't do that no more because all judgment's given unto the Son. But could you imagine if we had to keep that? Everybody would be stoned to death. Think of all the people in the world that just curse God and they're just talking. They use God's name in vain. I mean, just think of that. I mean, you know, I mean, I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore because then once I read the Bible, I said, oh man, I didn't know that. I mean, I used to do everything else. I'm nobody special. I did what everybody else did or does. But then I checked out the Bible and I thought, what? I never heard that before. And I started reading and I thought, well, this is unbelievable. It says, back to James, if you fulfill the royal law, which is the Torah, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. So did James make that up? No. James was again reading the Torah, Leviticus. Thou shalt not avenge, nor hear, or bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. I mean, think of that. A lot of people think that, like in the letters, that they just made these cool sayings up. No, it comes from Leviticus, because that's what James is reading, John. Just think about it for a second. You have like John, you have James and John and Philip and Bartholomew, all these guys. None of these are like, Pharisees or scholars or anything. Like fishermen. I mean, you know, Andrew, they're just like hanging out, you know. It's like somebody just hanging out. And all of a sudden, Yeshua comes by and says, follow me. In the back of their mind, somewhere in their life, they heard about Jesus or the Messiah. And then the light bulb goes on. They actually forsook everything that they were doing. That, to me, is always like amazing. God didn't, it's very hard to go get the elite of the world because they're too busy being elite. God goes after the people that maybe feel like they need God a little more. So, the rich do too, don't get me wrong, because at the end, Bill Gates is going to be crying like a baby too when the little breath starts leaving him. Isn't that amazing? The richest guy in the world, once the breath starts leaving Bill Gates, he's not going to be thinking about his billions. I'm sure God will say, what did you do for me in your lifetime? Oh God, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And God's going to say, well, that's your good deeds. Did you accept my Son? Did you keep his commandments? Did you keep his feasts? Did you keep my feasts? Did you do anything I said? Oh, but you did your righteousness, how good you were. In the eyes of the world too, it is good. I mean, if you can go send food to a country that's dying, you know, and feed the country, that's wonderful. But it still can't merit salvation. It's only the blood of the Messiah through faith. It's by faith. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't see it. Where is it? Where's faith? Oh, I have to have faith in my heart. Oh, I repent. I have to repent to this God I can't even see. Where's he at? Think about that. That's faith. I mean, it's, you know, at one point in my life, I thought that was imaginary. I thought the richest guy in the world made up the term God. Because what it does, I was like a rock and roll maniac, wild man, you know, I was like, and then I actually thought that. I actually thought the richest guy in the world, because it brought down a conviction on the masses. I seen everyone just like, oh, and I wanted to be out of that. I wanted everyone to fall down to me. But anyway, I don't want to have respect to persons. Okay, now back to James. We're going back to this little simple letter. That chapter 2, you might have thought it was really simple. But if we go back to the chapter 2 again, if you have respect to persons, we talked about that. It all comes from the Torah, the five books of Moses. Now, this verse right here, 1 John, this is John now. I mean, this is John. He was just a regular person like you and me, but one day the light bulb went off. And then he started reading the Bible, and he started reading the Torah, and he says, whoso committed sin transgresseth also the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. Wow. I mean, John says this in a letter he's writing. And, you know, that's a big... Those few words there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words, big time. Sin is the transgression of the law. Such a little word, sin. That little word, it can keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Think about that little stupid thing. when you could live a regular life and not go sin willingly and just have still have a nice life. You just have to learn how to get that little sin out of your life, because that thing is going to trick you in the end. Second Peter, Peter's writing a letter in the second letter there, chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You say to yourself, well, how could I be without spot and blameless? I mean, everybody sins. What are you talking about? How could you be sinless? How could you? We're talking about we don't sin willingly. Does everybody understand between willingly and ignorant? There's a big difference. In other words, I'm not sitting in my house planning how I'm going to go rob the guy next door. That would be willingly sinning. You know what I mean? Now, I know I do things wrong during the day. I'm sure of that. I'm just a regular person. But that's ignorant. But I'm not willingly, presumptuously going to sin. I'm not thinking about how I'm going to go do anything that's sin, you know. Now, Jesus himself, in the Gospels, he says, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. This is after you accept him. He says, go and sin no more. That's, you can't really decipher that any other way. Sin no more. Now back to James's letter, verse 10. This is chapter 2. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Of course. He that saith, do not commit adultery, said also don't kill. That's murder. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, thou would become a transgressor of the law. Right? I mean, if you think about the Ten Commandments, just think, take the Ten Commandments for a second. You would, if you actually thought about the Ten Commandments yourself, you would love everyone to keep them. Just think, nobody would be committing adultery with you, your wife. No one would be trying to steal from you. No one would be trying to do you dirty. No one would be doing anything. Imagine if you actually met people that kept the commandments. I mean, people you could really trust. They're really on your side, these commandments, because you're thinking, well, yeah, I don't want no one to steal from me. I don't want no one to covet from me. I don't want no one to commit adultery. I don't want no one to go beat my parents up. You know what I mean? Like, the commandments are really, if you think about them, they're really for you. But if you think about them the right way, and if you think, wow, just like in our congregation, you know, the people we know, we're not going to steal from you. We're not going to lie to you. We're not going to rob from you. We're not going to commit adultery. We're not going to dishonor parents or have another God in front of you. We're not going to covet or bear false witness. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to take the Lord's name in vain. You know, we're not going to do any of those things. You know what I mean? So that's nice, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to find people like that. When I look around all the time for people like that, or some certain qualities in people where they got potential. Because, look, if I can do it, I was just a regular guy. I know they can do it. I mean, if I can do it, believe me, they can do it. You guys don't know where I come from. New York, man. You don't even, can't even imagine what I was doing. I'm not going to go into it right now. But I came from a different kind of life. Not this life that I'm doing today. Okay? So I'm thinking to myself, if I can do this, why can't they do this? I mean, but it takes people that care about eternal life. I care about eternity because I happen to realize that, you know, once in a while I get a little pain, a little thing. I start thinking, I'm not as superhuman like I think I am, you know? I start getting a little, it's nice to know I have a God to call upon if I keep his commandments. Right? Isn't that nice? And you got a headache or your neck's killing you. You go, God, help me. And boom, it goes away. Isn't that nice? But so I think whoever falls into that category, it's really a nice thing. You know, so you have to make sure you keep the law, because sin is the transgression of the law. And if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. I mean, you wouldn't want me to break. Imagine if we, let's say me and you were hanging out together and I just decided to, we both agree we're keeping the commandments, right? We shake hands, okay? And all of a sudden, so I decide that, you know, you got something I want and I decide to break that one commandment there and steal something from you. How would you like that if I did that to you? You would think I was just a regular I mean, you know, terrible person, right? A weasel. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, now the Ten Commandments, I didn't write the Ten Commandments. Okay? You guys know that, right? I'm starting to look a little bit like Moses. I got to grow my beard, but no, I'm only kidding. But anyway, the Ten Commandments are in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. You can go read them yourself. I mean, you don't have to be a Bible scholar or learn Hebrew or Greek. Just go read your Ten Commandments. God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord, not you. I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I took you out of your sinful life, which is Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Sin had you in bondage. I'm trying to break you from this bondage, this jail that you're in. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay? There's the first commandment. You're not supposed to have any other gods before him. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. No images. So that means the Catholics are out of luck with all those statues. I mean, think about that. They got an image for everything. I mean, they got people praying. They get these pictures of Jesus in the picture and they start praying to it. How do they know what Jesus looks like? I mean, that could be somebody's uncle, you know. How would you know? That's not funny. It says, thou shalt not. I see people, I've known people, bow down thyself to them. They bow down in those churches with on the candles and lighting candles to nobody. I don't, that sounds, yeah, they got all kind of stuff. And that's a lot of religions too. It says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And that's like hating God when you start doing your own thing. But I like this part. I don't do that. I have no statues. I don't light candles to anybody. He says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. You know, I've been keeping the commandments for a while now. I still haven't grown two heads, I don't think. I have still, you know, I'm still me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. See, a lot of people think they're getting away with everything because, you know, a lot of people do stuff today or yesterday or last week. They do the little sneaky things. They think, no one's seen me. That's what you think. God doesn't miss anything. We're all going to give account one day. Isn't that a bummer? It's like an invisible person behind you. When you're doing your stuff, he's jotting down everything you're doing. Could you imagine like somebody double checking you all day long? That's the way it's going to be. And then you have to give account later because he wrote it down. You can't say, well, I didn't do that. I got it on page 2, line 56, that you did this at 2:15 on Tuesday, you know, in 2002. And God's got you. What are you going to do? I'm caught. So, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I mean, today's a Sabbath. You got 6 days to knock them dead. I wish I had my own business again. Maybe I'm thinking about starting out so I can have people keep the Sabbath. You have 6 days to go nuts. Go skiing, go fly to the moon, go do anything you feel like. God wants one day to read Bible. Once you do this for a while, it gets sort of exciting. I got to be honest with you, because you start getting into it. When you don't do this, it's like a drag, you know. But once you start reading Bible and you're around people that, they just worked their brains out and did whatever they want for 6 days. Now, one day to do something for God here. It's the Sabbath. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy menservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger, that is within thy gates. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, that verse that we just read there, the fourth commandment, you can't really decipher that any other way. I mean, anybody in here can count to seven on their toes, and you're still going to get Saturday. I mean, you could look at any calendar, and it's still the seventh day. You can't say, well, I'm all mixed up. No. I tell people all the time, you know, you're not going to trick God. I mean, come on, man. There's so much you can, 6 days full of stuff. You can do anything you want. I mean, then you got one day. I mean, that should be like nothing. honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be prolonged upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the first commandment with promise, if you honor your parents. You know how you honor your mother and father? If they're in the Lord, you do what they say. If your parents are in the Lord. If your parents are not in the Lord, you honor them by telling them the truth. Say, Mom, you know, I love you, but you gotta lay off the strong liquor, you know. or mom, you know what I mean? You gotta tell them the truth. Okay, thou shalt not murder, kill. You're not supposed to go around murdering, killing people. Now, that has nothing to do with armies and stuff like that. That's talking about, you're not supposed to just walk up somebody and say, I like those shoes. You know, that's what that's talking about. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, that's physical, and believe it or not, it's also spiritual, okay? So is killing, actually. You're not supposed to kill anybody spiritually either. I'm not supposed to come in and start telling you guys, hey, we're going to knock this off today. We're so all going to, you know, go out to the park and do something else today. That would be killing you spiritually. God forbid. Thou shalt not steal. I mean, could you think of, discern that any other way or decipher that? Thou shalt not steal. You're not supposed to steal. Okay. Did I forget that? I'll say it again. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, I said that because I said there's a spiritual and a physical.
Oh,
yes.
Okay,
we're not supposed to do both of them. And that's important. It's always good to go over it. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know, I'm not going to start talking about my neighbor. That's my neighbor now. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's guitar, his wife, or his men servant, or his maid servant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that's the neighbor. I'm not supposed to like lust after my friend's car, or my I don't know, whatever. I like that the lady next door's her diamond ring, man. I wish I had those diamonds so I can come out and go hi. You know, I was watching a minister the other day. I can't remember who it was. He was holding he had all these diamonds on and stuff and Rolex. I mean, he's like holding the microphone, like, you know, so you can see it. And I'm like, you know, what does that have to do with what you're saying? I mean, you know. You ever watch that guy Dino play the piano? He's got that big diamond ring. They make sure they put the camera right on. Jesus loves you. Does he love you or he's loved the diamonds? I mean, what are you loving? Okay, back to James, that little letter of James. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. We're going to be judged by the law of liberty. Two things bug me about the Bible. When I say bug, it means it upsets me. Two things I'm going to be talking about today. I don't like the idea I'm going to give an account. Ugh. And I don't like the idea I'm going to be judged too after that. In other words, I'm going to confess all the stuff I did wrong and then be judged by my own mouth. Those are two things I can't escape. For he shall have judgment without mercy, which had showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. So show mercy to each other, with people that you see that, you know, at one time, none of us on POW Talk here around the world, and also in this room, one time none of us knew any of this stuff, right? So we have to have mercy on the next person. Don't just run up to somebody and say, what are you doing that thing for? You start wailing. No, you talk to them nice. You can't listen, you know, you have to talk like the way you wanted to be talked to before you ever heard about this stuff. I mean, you know, what doth the prophet, my brother, do a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save you? Can faith save you? Of course not. I mean, you could sit in your house all day long and go, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God. And you don't do nothing. You don't do nothing he says. Or I mean, a lot of people say they believe in God, but do they do anything he says? Or do they have their own God, I guess. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace. Could you imagine that? If they're naked and they need some food, you instead of you saying, well, I got some clothes and I got some food, you just go, hey, nice seeing you. See you later. You depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Right? It profits nothing. If people came in here starving to death and with no clothes on, and I said, hey, it was nice seeing you today, I got to go. And I didn't help them in any manner. What does it profit? Nothing. It doesn't profit nothing. But I believe in God. Yeah, sure. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. A man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me. Then I say, show me thy faith without thy works. That's ridiculous. I'm going to show thee my faith by my works. That's what he's saying there. You know, do you believe that there's one God? There's only one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Did you know that Satan knows there's a one God? And James, again, of course, gets that from the Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Yes, there's only one God. I'm just giving you a couple of verses. There's many verses in different places. But back to the letter of James. We're almost finished. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now this is James, which is about, 450 years later. He's quoting Genesis right here. He's telling you the whole story about Genesis. James didn't make anything up. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Of course. And the scripture, look at that. James is quoting the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Just think, that was his title. He wasn't like a PhD and THD, and Abraham wrote 50 books, and he's got, he's just a friend of God. And of course, he didn't make that up, James. He went back to Genesis, and he said, talking about Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In other words, James is quoting Genesis right there. I mean, James is saying that Abraham's quoting Genesis. Yeah. James is saying that Abraham was the one through faith got his righteousness, yes. And then we go back to the book of James again, chapter 2, verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Of course, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Here's a lady that was a harlot. You'd probably think, well, who's going to be picking a harlot? I mean, I want to go somewhere to pick up someone. That lady over there looks holy. No, God picks the ones you never expect. But he picked her, and she received the messengers and sent them out another way. She didn't give away God's people. She said, go that way. But she had works. She hid the spies, That's in Joshua chapter 6. He's quoting that, James. James is quoting Joshua chapter 6. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In other words, you have to do something for God. Isn't that nice? Now, we're all going to give account and be judged. It's such a... These couple of topics, really, my flesh don't... it annoys me because... I'm just a regular person. First Peter says, chapter 4, verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Just think, judgment's going to begin at the house of God. Before it goes out there and gets the unsaved or the people that couldn't care less about God, it's going to start here because we're supposed to know the truth. Judgment's going to start here. If we know the truth, then we're supposed to be going righteous judgment. It's starting here. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Imagine if the ones that don't obey the gospel of God, if you happen to have heard of this before, you're accountable. You can't tell God, I never heard this before. Oh, boy. You can't tell God, I'm young. See, he's trying. God, with the fingers in the ears, God goes right in there. Check this out. If the righteous scarcely be saved, we're going to be scarcely saved because we are so, who knows what we're doing wrong. Have mercy on us. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wow. John, now that was Peter. Remember him? He was just like a fisherman. He's just hanging out on the boat or something. He got struck by the truth, and after you hear the truth, you start thinking, well, what am I going to do? I got to start doing something. Besides that, if I don't do something, how are my friends going to know? If I don't make a change in my life, how are they going to know? If I keep doing the same thing they're doing, we're all lost together. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, this is very important, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. So believe it or not, the one who died for us we're going to meet again because he's going to judge us. Oh, boy. Imagine the one that dies for you saying, I died for you, and you didn't do nothing for me. Here I am. He's going to be the one judging you. John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejected me, Jesus said, and receiveth not my words, had one that judged him. The word that I have spoken shall judge, the same shall judge him in the last day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must, this is, you know that word must? That means like there's no way out of it. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Messiah. Can't escape. You can't say, well, I don't feel like doing that. Well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you feel like at the end. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done. See, God only does to you what you have done. He's so fair, whether it be good or evil. So what if you do evil, you're going to get evil. If you do good, you'll get good. I mean, if we just try our best, God's got to have mercy on us, even though we got a bunch of stuff wrong. I'm sure we got stuff wrong, but we're trying. I hope. I mean, we're hoping for that. We hope for the grace that is to come. Romans 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So don't look at me and say, well, I wish that guy would do this. I wish he would do that. No, you worry about yourself. You better worry about how everyone's going to give account for their own stand, their own, what you do. Of course, if you see your brother sin now, you go say something to them or your sister. Romans 2:2, it says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do the same things? O man, that judgest them which do such things and doth the same, that you're going to escape the judgment of God? You can't. It's impossible. Romans. Paul's telling the Romans. Chapter 1:32. Who knoweth the judgment of God? Who knowing the judgment of God? Some people actually know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, some people actually know what they're doing is not right, and they still keep doing them, and they try to get pleasure out of it. But at the end, you know, after the I always tell people, after the music's over and the lights are off and the people are gone and you're all by yourself, and you're like, whoa. Romans. The Romans needed a lot of instructions. Chapter 2, verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, impenitent, it's like such a hard piece of rock, treasure it up unto thyself, wrath. Could you imagine saving up or treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God? In other words, people are storing up, they're doing so many evil things, they're treasuring up judgment that's going to come and club them on the head one day for eternity. And you don't have to do that. That's the wonderful thing is you don't have to do that. You don't have to be in that category. Hebrews 9:27, and there's an appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die. You're not coming back as a butterfly, or you're not coming back as whatever. It's appointment once to die, but after that, the judgment. See, while it's called today, and you know, we're all healthy, and we're all here, everything's wonderful, you could say, I'm getting out of here. Well, that's great, but you're still going to meet the Lord one day. One day in everyone's lifetime, you will meet the Lord. Matthew, here, and this is the book of Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. There's that invisible person behind you with the paper again, right, listening to every word you say. Oh, I got an idle word. Idle word. Wednesday the 16th of November, 2003. Idle word. And if you didn't repent, it's going to be played back to you. Isn't that horrible? Just think of that. There's somebody walking around monitoring you all day. Isn't that, that's such a, where is he? You know, that's a scary thing, actually. Romans 14:11. For it is written, oh, it's written again. Paul is quoting the Tanakh. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee is going to bow to me. Well, I don't think I'm going to be doing that. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And every tongue is going to confess to God. Ugh. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You're going to give an account of yourself. You don't have to worry about everybody else. Like my wife, you know, I'm worried about her now, but I'm not. She's going to give her own account to God. I'm going to give my own account to God. You're going to give your own account. You're giving your own account. You're giving your own account. You're giving your, you're, everyone's going to give your own account to God. You too. Now, this is like my responsibility because I get scared too because what I'm telling you, I have to make sure it's correct. You know why? Because obey them that have the rule of you and submit yourselves for they. I'm watching for your souls. You know why? Because I'm going to have to give an account of what I'm telling you. So if I'm telling you something wrong, I'm going to give account one day for what I'm telling you right now. But I hope that I can do it with joy, not with grief. Otherwise, that's unprofitable for you. Okay? And further, the Ecclesiastes, this is the preacher. Further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there's no end. Did you know, you probably know that by now, the book list. You ever see the book list? There's no end. Making many books, there's no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Really, it really is. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God's, I mean, this one verse blows my whole wanting to go knock him out. You know, I wanted to, God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. You think nobody knows? God knows whether it be good or whether it be evil. One day I'm going to give an account. I guess God has two lists, all the stuff you did here and all the secret stuff you did here. And then you have to give an account for everything you did. You're going to be judged according to their works from the book. You're going to be judged by the word of God. It's going to judge you in the end. The book, and there's also a, you better make sure you're in the book of life. That's really, there's a couple of books. There's two books that I know of. Okay, you need to click that one. Okay. Exodus 32:32. Moses is pleading with God, you know. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. You know, I was asking my wife, I said, man, I wonder how Moses knew that God had this book that you're either in it or you're not. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever, no, I'm not going to blot you out, Moses. Whosoever had sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. In other words, if you get blotted out of the book, the Baptist doctrine ain't going to hold eternal security because you're blotted out. Daniel 7:10 says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books are open. Could you imagine that? I mean, could you imagine like two books? Like, I can't even do it like in simultaneously fashion here. This book over here, judging you out of the word, and over here at the end, oh, your name is not in there. Could you imagine that? I mean, it's all, you know what recordings are? Especially nowadays with technology, you can record a lot of different ways, right? God's technology is way, way more advanced than this earth. He's got everything recorded. That's a scary thing. And don't think when I'm telling you this, I'm also telling myself, because to me it's, I think about, I, you know, it sort of gives me a little bit of a spook too, you know. I'm thinking like, whoa, I want to make sure I'm right too. But these books, we're going to be judged. It says, Revelations 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great. I mean, even the great, I mean, they can't pay God off? No. The small and the great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. If you're not in the book of life, you might as well, I don't know, this life is just a waste of time then. It says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Your works. So when I read that, I always think about, okay, what did I do last week? What did I do 2 weeks ago? What did I do last month? What did I do today? What am I doing right now? I'm doing this as works. This is some of my good works. It's being recorded. Write that down. My flesh don't want to be here. This isn't what my flesh wants to do. My flesh is a different kind of flesh. But I'm here because I'm the new man. I'm a new person. And it's being recorded. I'm doing some good works today. And I smack the flesh around. You have two people inside of you. You have the spirit and the flesh. You can either make the flesh win or the spirit of God. You have a choice. You could actually feel the pull, too. You could feel like, oh, I don't want to be here. And I could feel, no, stay here. No, the word feels good. No. You know, you could almost like, oh, I want to go home. Oh. And, you know, I could feel that, too. It's not anything. Don't think everybody. We all feel the same feelings. I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, who wants to come here? You think I want to be in this room, like I said, with that little, looks like I'm in the kindergarten room, you know. But that's my flesh. My spirit wants to be here because, hey, praise the Lord. And with some brothers and sisters, I see some people online. I know there's thousands of us around the world. So I'm here and I rejoice. And you mortify the deeds of the flesh. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead. See, death and hell delivers up the dead that was in them. See this word hell? Everyone's taught this heaven and hell. Uh-uh. This heaven, this hell is going to deliver up the dead. Death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And death and hell delivered up the dead which was in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. This is the final judgment when no one could ever say, God, you made a mistake. I was really a good guy. This is, no. We got the recorded. Everything's recorded. You're going to confess. Matter of fact, you're going to confess with your own mouth that you're guilty. That's the incriminating thing. You're not going to have like a bunch of people going, he's guilty. You're going to be confessing, I did this, I did that, I did that, I thought this, I did that, I didn't do this, I gave that excuse. I mean, it's going to go so fast that, and at the end, God's going to look and you confess with your own mouth. Depart from me to the left. The Philippians. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Revelations 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. You have to overcome, and then God won't blot you out. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Imagine Jesus, the Messiah, saying, my good and faithful servant, welcome, enter in, meet Father, Father. That's so beautiful. Revelations 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. In the end, you know, I don't know if you watch the news or anything. In the news right now, Israel is dying to make the third temple, which we don't need. And we've got Iran, and we got all these people, and Russia sending missiles. Russia sending missiles to Iran. Iran's making this big noise. There's a lot of stuff happening in the news. One day, there will be an anti-Messiah in Jerusalem. They're dying to build the third temple right now, and he will sit in the temple one of these days. Right at this moment, the Sanhedrin is created. They have been around now for a year and a half. Sanhedrin are the crazy people, I call them, that are going to officiate in the temple. So they are already in place. Soon the third temple will kick in. I know that. And then all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not in the book of life, whether you like it or not. I mean, just think, your life, you might think, well, that doesn't fit in my life. That's what you think if I tell you, if I'm the government and I say you can't eat anymore unless you do what I'm telling you. That happened just 60 years ago. I mean, life changes. You see how nice it is today? You say, it could never happen, man. This guy's cuckoo. No, life can change when you least expect it, and everything that you're comfortable with is over. And then you have to go do what the anti-Messiah tells you. Oh, brother. Revelation 17:8, and the beast that thou sawest and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. These are the ones that, if you're not in the Lord, you're going to wonder whose name, these are the people that, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. See, to God, everything's over. Whoever's name's in the book of life, it's there. See, God, everything's done already. Even though it sounds like, you know, God selected certain people. No, he didn't. He just knows who's going to be there from the foundations of this world when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Does everybody understand that? God knows everything that's already, it's already finished. He already knows who's going to make and who's not. He already knows who's going to do this to the end. Are you going to quit one day? Do you want to give up? Why not? Come on, man. Well, Revelations 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I wrote this twice, and the books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's why. Phew. If you're not in the book of life, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. I don't know about you. I like to swim, but I don't know about in fire. I don't even like getting a suntan. I can't imagine, could you imagine being in a fire? There's no firemen down there. No one's coming to put it out. Revelations 21:27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defile it, nor whatsoever work it abomination or make it a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. So that's the same book that was in Moses' time. There it is again. It's from right from Exodus all the way to Revelations. Isn't that amazing? Revelations 22:19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Oh, man. And out of this holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Just think, if you change the word of God, a lot of men have changed the word of God. They're dead right now. They can't come back and say they're sorry. Just think, we have a chance right now. Just think, the people that are in hell right now, they would love to take your place. I mean, I can't even say it with enough enthusiasm. They would love to take our place more than you can even dream. But it's finished. They can't come back. We still right now can go, man, this is enough for me. I'm going to start doing something for God. I repent of my sins. Who wants to do that anyway? I'm going to start doing something for God. We still have a chance today. Start now. Start now. No one's late. Start now. Revelations 21:27. The Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, we read this. This book. What book? You might be saying, well, what book are we going to be judged out of? This law. Deuteronomy 28:58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. It's the book in the Bible. The Bible, that's what it is. Deuteronomy 28:8. Thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous. And just think, if you do this, listen to this promise. Thou shalt return and obey. So you're going to return back to the Lord and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand. Wow. And in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land for good. And the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers. So God wants us to return to him if you're not with him. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment, you can't say, well, I don't know, which commandments do I have to do? I'm all mixed up. No, the commandment which I commanded this day, it's not hidden from you. You got the Bible right there. Neither is it far off. You can't say, well, I don't have enough gas. I can't get it. You can't do that. Go read your ten. Start with your Ten Commandments. It's not in heaven that you can't say, well, I don't have a rocket ship. I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do. Or, you know. No, it's not in heaven that thou shalt say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it down to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea. You can't say, well, I just can't keep his commandments. I don't have a boat. It's beyond the other side of the sea. It's not. It says, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Okay? That's also in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 10. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. Do you have something against living and multiplying? And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, if you don't want to hear, but shall be drawn away, something trying to draw you away from serving the Lord, if you're drawn away, something's trying to pull you away, and you start worshiping other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land. God will probably cut you off sooner enough, whether thou passest over this Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record. There it is. It's recorded. It's on record. You know, you press the button, record. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and your seed may live. You know, if you have children. So I'm recording this today, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. He is your life. Did you know that? And he is the length of your days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them. Now you might say, well, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's not my father. Well, really? Is there anybody in this room that didn't come from Noah? Anybody in this room didn't come from Adam? Did you come from outer space? No, I mean, believe it or not, we're all not that different. We all have very similar grandparents. Deuteronomy 31:24, and it came to pass when Moses had made an end of the writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. It's against you if you don't keep it.
There it is.
Okay? Yeah. And you might say, well, that book is old. Well, Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So you have to do it. You have to meditate day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. What can you ask for more than that? I mean, you know, you do what God says. Just think, when you do what God says, man, he blesses your life. I mean, and afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and, oh wait, excuse me. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel as written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man had lifted up an iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. See, a lot of churches just like to read you the blessings, but you're supposed to read the blessings and the curses. Joshua 23:6, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law. So you know why? Because you're going to be judged by it one day. Be very courageous that you turn not aside from therefrom to the right hand or to the left. And then right from all the way from Genesis, all the way from Malachi, it says, "Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments." Remember, keep, do, please. And Jesus said this himself. He says, "Think not," in other words, please don't think this, "that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets." Okay? "I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you that till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So as far as I know, we're still here, right? Heaven and earth didn't pass away. The things that were fulfilled, but the other things still stand. So don't think that you could be exempt, or you could be out of the, you know, you have to be involved. If you're alive, you're involved. If you're alive, you have to make a decision. If you're alive right now, okay, I'll explain that. The word jot in Hebrew is the yud, which is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And a tittle, it could be a couple of things. It could be grammar marks, or it could be the little flags that are on top of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. On the Hebrew letters, there's little flags that are on each letter in certain writings. Now, none of these. In other words, what he's trying to say is not the smallest things of the Bible are going to be done away or pass away till everything is fulfilled. So don't think that. See, you can't get out of this because the Bible's already been written. Jesus already came. He already died. The prophecies of him already fulfilled. And the coming of the Messiah prophecies didn't happen yet. We are all in this. We are all in this, and it's all happening. Whether you like it or not, whether you care, whether you don't care, whether you believe it or not, you're still in it. Because, I mean, if you have to be pretty blind not to see the different things going on in the world and the one world forces trying to really unite. So I say to everybody, I record heaven and earth today. We record this today that we want to keep the commandments of God. We want to prosper in our lives. We want to succeed. We want to be right in God's eyes and pass it on to others and also to our children. So I say, praise the Lord. God bless you. There's a lot in this study today. I hope you got something out of it, at least something out of it. I say shalom. God bless you, and Shabbat shalom.